UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all doing well this week. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We start off tonight with Matthew in Georgia, the United States, and he caught a UFO sighting on his vehicle's dashcam while traveling along the I-85 after leaving work. And then we go to Perth, Australia to hear about the experiences Electra has been having. Starting at just 3 years old, when beings saved her and her mother from a very violent and dangerous situation. Matthew up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the podcast, Matthew.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be on.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from the state of Georgia.
Yes, sir. West Point, Georgia. Right on the border with Alabama, actually. Like, if you were to throw a rock from my backyard to in, like, a westerly direction, you would probably hit the border of Alabama with a fairly good throw.
You are right on the border, then.
Yeah.
Now, you have a UFO sighting to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yes, sir. And you've got the video pulled up, right? I can kind of, like, detail my thoughts along with it, if you'd like.
Yeah, sure. You go ahead.
Alrighty. So, before the video actually starts, this was June 19th. So I was working that night at Publix, and I got off work at 9:45 that night. So a lot later than I usually get off of work, but I've gotten off work later. So I was driving home. This was about 10 o'clock at night or so. The clock on my dash cam reads a different time, but I haven't actually adjusted the clock yet. So I was driving down the highway. This was Interstate 85. And you'll see as I go around the corner, I see these really bright lights in the sky, unlike anything really that I've ever seen before. Like, I knew it wasn't an airplane or like a helicopter or anything because I was looking dead at it, and it's so much brighter than anything I've ever seen. So as soon as I came around the corner and I saw it, I was I was stunned, really. I was like, that, I don't know what that is. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And as I kept driving, I hit the record button on my dash cam and I started recording it. And I was looking around at the traffic that was around me because I was around several other cars and semi trucks at that point. And I thought to myself, I can't be the only person seeing this because traffic around me was also starting to slow down. I think other drivers were taking notice of it, but I've never seen anything like that. And as I kept driving down the highway, I just kept staring at it and I couldn't take my eyes off it, really. And I just kept focusing between looking up at where the lights were and trying to focus on staying in my lane, because I was like, if I stare too long at this, I'm going to go off the side of the highway. And so I drove alongside these lights, and as I got closer to them, I noticed that there were three or four really bright, almost like LED sort of lights that you would see on like a car, but they're all in like this half circle, almost line. They're all connected together. And behind them was a red light, a tiny red light that was blinking really fast. As I was driving down the highway, I could actually like pull up alongside them, and I actually passed them. As I was driving down the highway, I actually passed the lights. So from what I could see, they were either moving in the other direction from me, or they were slow enough and going in the same direction that I was able to actually pull up alongside them. But as I was getting close to my exit, I lost them in the trees as I was pulling alongside them. I saw them go off to the side, and they got to a point where they were too high up for me to actually see from inside my car. So I got off the interstate at the closest exit that I could. And as I was waiting to turn onto the highway, I rolled my window down to see if I could actually hear anything. Because usually when you see like an airplane or a helicopter at that distance, you can usually hear like the noise of the jets or like the helicopter rotors, right? And I rolled my window down and I couldn't hear anything. It was dead silent. So I pull off the highway. And I've driven around this area before, and I know that right after you get off the highway, if you make that first right, it's a neighborhood that was never built, essentially. The roads are there, but they never actually did anything with it. So I was thinking to myself, this would be a good place to stop and pull over and get out of my car to see if I could actually see the lights. And so I pulled in. And I put my car in park and I got out of my car and I look around all through the sky and the lights have just completely disappeared. You can't see them at all. And I know they couldn't have gone far because it wasn't moving very fast. I was able to pull up alongside them and I was able to pass them essentially. So they couldn't have gone anywhere if they were moving at a reasonable distance, at a reasonable speed, like an airplane or a helicopter would. But when I got out of my car, there was just nothing there, nothing in the sky. And I kept trying to reason with myself, like I probably just saw an airplane or a helicopter or something. You know, there has to be a logical explanation for this. But I kept going back to, this has to be a UFO. There's no other explanation that I could reasonably come up with other than this is a UFO. This is some kind of craft that isn't man-made. And I got back in my car and I was just speechless. I couldn't even think straight, really. And the first thing I did was call my dad because I was like, I have to tell this story to somebody. I know nobody's going to believe me. They're going to think I'm crazy. but I have to say this to somebody, that I have to tell somebody what I've just seen. And as I was talking to him, as I was getting back on the highway, I remembered, oh, that's right, I have a dash cam in my car that was recording this entire time. I have definitive proof of what I've seen. And I got home that night and I instantly pulled the SD card out of my dash cam, and I kept trying to look for a laptop that I could look at the footage with, but unfortunately my laptop that I literally got a couple of months before this happened, this was my first time trying to see if it had like an SD reader, and unfortunately my laptop couldn't actually take the video, and a separate computer that I had in my house, the power cord had broken on it. So for about 3 weeks or so, I actually had this footage on my SD card, and I had no way of looking at it at all until I got a new power cord in for the backup computer. But once I actually took a look at the footage, I noticed, you know, I've got like 3 minutes of definitive footage of whatever this thing is on my dash cam. And even looking at it, you can see in the background, there's like stars and everything. You can see a couple of them in the background. And this thing is so much brighter than anything that you see in this video. It was completely unbelievable. So that night, or the next morning, I should say, I actually, you know, called my mom and I was like, you know, I saw this last night. And she told me, why don't I get in touch with my friend Philip, because he's big into like UFO sightings like that. And I got a call back from Philip saying that he had actually seen the lights as well. And from what he had seen, he was in a similar vantage point to me, but he was on a different highway that's about a mile away from where I was. And he told me from what he could see a very similar shape. And at some points from his vantage point, he could actually see the lights fading out and coming back. And at one point they faded out entirely and then never returned. And just by sheer coincidence, we both happened to see these lights at the same time, even though he had left work. He's a coworker of mine. He had left work about 30 minutes or so before I had. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it there. That's how I saw those lights.
Obviously the listeners can't see the video, but I'll put a link down below in the show notes and on the website as well, so people can go have a look at it.
Yes, sir.
So you were traveling south on the I-85.
Yes, sir.
And that's between LaGrange and West Point.
Yes, sir. So where the video actually starts, I'm about mile marker 11, I want to say, at that point, or like 10 or 11. And in between the space that I'm on that interstate, the nearest exit behind me is exit 13, and that's for LaGrange. And then there's a 7 mile span where there are no exits. And the first exit that I come up on and I get off on is the first exit for West Point. And that's for the actual Kia plant. That's where they make Kia's automobile cars. That's the main exit for it. And the Kia plant, you won't actually see until later in the video when I get back on the interstate. I pass the water tower of the Kia plant, and you can kind of see the building off to the side. But other than that, the only things that are actually on that exit are a single gas station, and then the road just goes off into the woods pretty much. There's almost nothing on that exit besides the Kia plant and the gas station. And then where I pull in, like I said, they were planning on putting like a neighborhood there, like housing, and then they just never got around to it and the project fell apart. but they already had the roads there. And sometimes you'll see like semi trucks or something parked in there. Other than that, really, there's just nothing there. So there's an entire like 7 mile span where there are no exits, and then the first exit you get off on, there's really nothing there. So there isn't very much traffic during that time of night, but there's enough where I know that I wasn't the only person seeing these lights, you know?
Yeah, so others would have certainly seen it as well.
Yeah.
Probably not the ones traveling north, but definitely the other people heading in your direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your friend, was he also coming from LaGrange as well?
Yes, sir. He works at the he works at the same Publix that I do. He works in the seafood department. And he got off work about 20, 30 minutes before I did. He usually gets off at a set point every night, but my schedule varies. Sometimes I'll have like an earlier shift and I'll get off 4 p.m. or so. And sometimes I'll work as late as 10 o'clock. And on one occasion, I've worked as late as 10:30. Occasions like that, I don't really close very much. So getting off that late at night isn't a very common occurrence for me.
Yeah, it certainly is unusual. And is this the first time you've ever really witnessed something unexplained?
I would say so, that's the first time. Really, it's the first time where I've seen something and I just didn't have an explanation for it. Like, I could see something strange and I can pass it off as like, you know, that's an airplane or that's a helicopter. It's kind of easy to tell. But in this instance, just by how bright the lights are and the number of lights, because like I said, it wasn't a single light. It was just these three or four lights that were in like a half circle kind of shape. I couldn't really explain it, really. I was just speechless.
And did you get a chance to report it to MUFON or the National UFO Reporting Center?
I tried reporting it to somewhere. I can't remember which one I actually reported it to because it's been a couple months. I think it might be the UFO Reporting Center, but I can't remember.
Yeah, because it's so fresh as well, isn't it? Well, yeah, even if you just file a report, and at least if anyone else has seen that same particular object in that area that at that time.
Yeah.
It's something which is very helpful for researchers and also inquiring minds, you know, that have seen something and they want to see if anyone's reported it and seen anything, you know, the same as they did.
Yeah.
Perfect, Matthew. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure to be able to do this.
That's what it's all about.
Yes, sir.
Great stuff. Okay, take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Good evening, Electra, and welcome to the podcast.
Good evening, Nick. Thank you very much for welcoming me on board on your UFO Chronicles podcast. Looking forward to sharing some of my experiences and having a little chat about wonderful and unusual things as well.
You are more than welcome. And you're calling from Perth in Western Australia.
Yes, that's right. It's very cold here at the moment. Winter time for us. And we're in the middle of a few storms at the moment. So battered down the hatches and all nice and cozy with the heaters going.
A windy but a fine city nonetheless. Now, Electra, you have several experiences to share with our listeners. Going back to childhood, would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to. Well, I'm a 60s child, and my father was Yugoslav. He came over on the ship, my biological father, because my mum had a thing for Yugoslav men, because my stepdad is also Yugoslav, who took over looking after me and taking me in as his daughter from the age of four up. But my mum, she's born here in Australia, but her parents are Scottish and Norwegian ancestry. So, yeah, wonderful, lovely mix. So pretty much I was blessed to be born into a very gifted family. My family, we all have different gifts. We sometimes have visions, premonitions, clairvoyancy, a large array of things that occurs in our lives. Probably in our family, it would be my second father and I who experienced a little bit more than the rest of the family. I was born to a family with four girls and one son, my poor brother. But we had a great life together. But back to my biological father, he was working, and it was about 1966, and he got hit in the head at work with a large metal, sort of one of those big lifting bolt things, catapults or whatever they call them. And unfortunately, he ended up in hospital, and it did damage him mentally. And when he did return home, things like that, luckily he didn't have to have any major operations. He was very lucky to have survived and things like that. But things started going haywire from that day forth, because he started reacting out with mood swings and started with death threats and, you know, a few things like that at my mother, and wasn't in a very good space at all. So, and then unfortunately, one night, my mother was cooking dinner. I was only about 3 years old, and he came up behind her and got one of the large knives for, you know, chopping up the meat and so forth, and put her head up and shoved it down on the sink, and he fully intended on sawing my mother's head off. And as he had her head down and he starting to cut, I ran up and, being only three, hit him on the leg to stop doing that to my mother, and I was screaming. And he showed me the knife and let me know I was next, and pushed me back, and I landed down on the floor. And in the same moment as he did that, there was like a large blast of light that appeared from the corner, and it was two, I suppose you could say, big beings. One was sort of very angelic-like, and the other one, I suppose you could say, was extraterrestrial, because one was very blue and very tall. And I remember as they came in, just the force of it pushed him back, and he was just in absolute fear, because he did have a great fear of seeing spirits and things like that. And he was absolutely stunned. And in all that same time, my uncle, my mother's brother, came racing through the front door, picked me up off the floor and just saved our lives and grabbed us at the same time and totally oblivious to what was going on over the other side. He just had one mission. He said that he felt an overwhelming urge to come and get us now. And so thanks to my uncle and these divine beings appearing, my mother and I were saved from being killed by my biological father. And it's a sad thing, but and unfortunately he had to go into a mental asylum at the time and have what they used to call, you know, the shock treatment and everything like that. And then, you know, eventually he came good, but he still used to have problems. But I remember talking to him years later and he'd always had the sight of seeing things as well, and it ran in his family as well. But I just feel very blessed that did occur, that those divine beings appeared, and my mother never got to see them. She just remembers seeing a bright light come in, and that's all she remembers. So that's one of my first major childhood experiences. And yeah, so a little bit full on. And then I'll tell you about one years later. I was 16, going on 17. We were living in a house that Mum and Dad bought in Mount Nisura. It's in the city of Armidale in Western Australia. And right up on the beautiful mountain, we had the whole views of Perth. And I'd only been at high school. We'd returned after the summer, and I'd already been in high school for about a month or so. So it was about the month of March in 1980. And I remember it was autumn. I remember the leaves falling off the trees and everything. And one night, it would have been close to 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember the whole house lit up as if the sun had just come down and filled our whole house up. And in that same time, I remember my father waking up and getting up, and I got up the same time, and I just knew there was something unusual going on because we had seen unusual occurrences of UFOs and other things in the sky in our family. It was a regular thing. And that night, these beings from this massive UFO visited my father and asked him if he'd like to come with his family to come to this other planet that my father used to be on, because apparently he used to be one of their leaders. And he refused because he said he wishes for his children to make their own choices in life, and they're here on Earth, and he wishes for them to continue their life on Earth. And if they so choose later on down the track, then so be it. So, but he had one large being that did look extraterrestrial-like, and the other one that was more, I suppose you could say, humanoid, more like our features. They were the ones that came to him. They took him up there onto the ship, on board. And then, so he had a few experiences with him. They told him lots of things. And myself, at the same time, I was also taken on board by that same big blue being that I saw when I was 3 years old, and I found out that he's a Sirian star being named Commander Gian. And I was taken on board as well, and I remember him returning me to my bed and putting a blanket over me because supposedly he was my father from the Sirian star. It's really out there, one of those strange things, but it is what it is. In my life, and I've had a lot of confirmation going up there. So on this particular night, it was all bright, and the sun, it was like the sun came through my mum and dad's bedroom, because my mum also woke up with the side of her face, because she slept near the window, the side of her face was sunburnt, and it was that bright. So we all got up. Dad got up first. I followed behind him, and then next followed my mum and my other siblings, my other three sisters and my brother, and we all went out the front of the house, and it was so bright above, and then we saw this massive UFO, and the next door neighbours had also came out as well to inspect because it was so bright, neighbours across the street, and they got to see this massive light go all the way up to the stars and then completely disappear. Now, a couple of the neighbours did report it, but nothing ever came of it. And because I've looked it up for the year 1980 and nothing was reported, but the next door neighbours said they experienced unusual sounds and unusual goings on. And we all knew when we first came out the front, we knew what was going on. We all had a feeling because we have seen, you know, many things, as I said. So it was a really wonderful experience in a way because other people got to see this amazing, you know, close encounters, I suppose you could say, of the third kind or fourth kind. And, you know, and they could see clearly it was a massive big ship. And so because my parents talked to the neighbours because they were a little bit afraid, later on they sort of had a little chat with them, and a lot of things were kept to ourselves, of course, because certain times, certain eras, you've got to be very careful what you say. They might decide to lock you up in the funny farm or anything along those lines. So we were very cautious of what we would say to people. We'd never reveal, you know, some of our experiences to outside people, maybe just in family or very, very close friends. Because again, you have to be very careful because you never know who could come knocking on your door. So from that experience, I remember it took us hours when we came back in to go back to sleep, and we were just talking about it. We were all sharing our dreams and experience. We all experienced going on the ship and seeing these things. But it was more my father started having more premonitions of the world. He used to already have some premonitions, but after that incident, he started having a lot more from things like plane crashes to earthquakes. He'd tell us exactly what country, where it is, and so forth. And we'd be waiting months later, and here it is, you know, on the news, on the TV, exactly what Dad said, you know. So if anything, they sort of awakened him with his gift that he already had sort of within him. And, you know, we used to experience other things as well as spirits, you know, walking through and saying hello, and other unusual encounters of during summertime. We used to lie up in the backyard and just watch the stars, and they'd be dancing around in the sky for us and doing a little light show, and wonderful things like that would occur, which we would have sometimes some close friends who sit there and have a little watch with us as well. So that was probably that UFO incident, Mount Mazura there, was probably the most biggest event that my family and I ever experienced. And we remembered the fact that we got to remember everything, but it was only my father and I that remembered how we were brought back into the bed. The rest just remember waking up and sort of dreaming in a dream state. But with my father and I, we remember being placed back into the bed and the blanket nicely placed over us as well. So, yeah, so after that experience, quite a few of us in our family would still have, you know, little psychic experiences here and there. And we quite often see UFOs. And I used to sometimes have UFOs following me, and while friends were with me in the car. Like, for instance, in, I think it was about 2017, I was down in a country town visiting some lovely ladies that I knew, and a friend came with me. And Bunbury was south of Perth, and it was about an hour and a quarter from where I lived in Mandurah. And it was at night time. We were only there till about 8 o'clock at night. We went there and had dinner there and had a lovely experience. And then on our way home, it was my best friend Bev, she was with me. And sort of after about half an hour travelling up, I think it's called the Forest Highway now, we started noticing on my side, on the driver's side, there's a bright orange light. And then it started forming and started showing its shape in through the trees. And it started coming in closer, and we realised it was actually a UFO type of ship, and it actually followed us all the way home back to my place, and it did a full 360 degree turn and hovered, oh, I suppose you could say maybe, oh, it would have been about maybe close to probably about 50 feet or so very close above my house, because I was just grabbing some things and then going over to my good friend Bev's place to stay the night. And she hopped into her car and left, and they waited and stayed above the house, and it was a beautiful bright orange light. And the ship was probably, I'd say it'd be about 30 feet in diameter, and I couldn't see any beings, couldn't see anything like that, just pure light. And I just felt a telepathic connection of sort of thoughts coming to me of, it's okay, you know, we come with love and don't be afraid, you know, a very familiar feeling that I felt. Because I felt the top of my head sort of having sort of throbbing vibes, you know, really unusual stuff. And I felt very comfortable and I wasn't worried about it. And so I gathered my things and I hopped in my car, and then they started following me up to her place. She was about 10 minutes away. Again, when I pulled up in the driveway, they did the same thing. They came right around in front of me and then just hovered above her house. And then I went in and I called her to come out, and she came out with her son, and they had got to have a good look as well. And it stayed there probably for about half an hour, and it sort of slowly started rising up higher into the sky, and we just felt very comfortable. It was like a warm, fuzzy feeling when you're feeling very comfortable around someone or something. And we didn't feel threatened by anything at all. And so for the rest of the night, they went up into the sky. We watched where they were, and they went up sort of towards the moon. It was a full moon that night, and they just went straight up, and then they went diagonally as well, just showing us that it's not, you know, it's not just any vehicle, because it was very precise and in their angles that they turn, and you know, to be sort of straight lines and, you know, squares and triangular shapes that they do to let us know, no, we're not a plane. Yeah, so for the whole night, they sat up there, and I remember my friend and I coming out and just checking to see if they were still in the sky, and they were still up there. But in the same token, the next morning when we woke, we remembered our experiences of meeting these beings, or extraterrestrials, I suppose you could say, that were on board. And they were your usual looking ET beings, but their skin was a very pale brown pinky colour. And their height was between 5 and 6 feet tall. And we do remember them taking us up there onto their ship and returning us as well. And they were just communicating with us, letting us know that we're connected and we come from the stars. And they told us other information about some of our lifetimes. But it was all very much in, you know, sort of a familiar way with like a type of star family from a different connection. And we felt that they were very connected, and around near the Orion star, up near that way. We're not sure of which star system. I can't remember the name of the planet, but I know it was somewhere to the right of the Orion star and constellation there, where they originated from. And they seemed very friendly and very kind and very loving, and they definitely had no intentions of bringing any harm. They were very benevolent and, you know, very loving in that way as well.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
I was very overwhelmed because this was the first time in my life that I ever had a friend of mine see, you know, a UFO that close up, or see the actual beings that were on the vessel as well. So it was very overwhelming for me, for someone else to see it outside of family. And it was just more confirmation, because I'm a person that I do like a lot of confirmation. I don't always take things as definite. I like to see certain forms of confirmation as well. So still to this day, since then, yeah, it was about 2017, you know, we still have clear memories of that. Again, we have had some sort of cruise past and say hello. Quite often I'll be either in my backyard or front yard, and I'll just go out the door and I'll look up and I'll see extra large star, and I just have this overwhelming feeling of knowing it's not a star. And I'll just say to them, I know you're not a star. And then as soon as I say that, they start moving towards me and then start shooting up into the sky, up into the stars. So it seems to continue throughout in my life. But also my sisters, they experience seeing some UFOs as well, but seems to occur a lot more to my father and I, for whatever reasons. It just is what it is. But we do see other types of things on a paranormal scale as well. And then, so that was a wonderful experience. And like I said, I was very overjoyed having someone with me who was outside the family to experience it, including her son. And a most recent event that I had occur with my partner, John, we woke up only about 3 weeks ago. We woke up with three big red marks on both our right shoulders, and the three red marks were in a line, in a straight line, exactly in perfect spacing. And they were sort of like little lumps, and they were red. And my partner took a photo of it, but I forgot to take a photo of his. And then I started remembering the journey. We were taken on the journey on board. It was a Syrian ship connected with that Syrian star being, the 12-foot tall one, way back from when I was a little girl. And they took us to a faraway place. One of the places was up where the Syrian stars, which is on the far right-hand side of bright blue, on the far right-hand side of the Orion's belt. And the beautiful African tribe people of the different tribes call it the Dog Star. And we went up there, we experienced that, and they took us on a further journey to another planet that was actually very much like Earth. And the only difference was there was a lot of purple in the sky. And my partner just doesn't so much remember so much of the planet. He just remembers, you know, being on some kind of ship and unusual goings on. So we had people checking, you know, whether it's, you know, mosquito bites or things like that. And it definitely wasn't, because it was a little bit too big for a mosquito bite, because they were quite large. And also I did get told that the following night I asked. I just thought I'd put it out there to the heavenly divine beings, ask them, okay, what is the connection with the three markings that were in alignment on our right shoulders? And we got told that they were breathing apparatuses that were connected to sort of like your meridian, to your lungs. So that was a mouthful, and I thought, okay, well, that makes sense. And then I was telling another friend about it, and he said, that's actually correct, that's true. So that just gave more confirmation to my partner and I that, you know, it was connected with breathing and connected with our lungs. So that was good confirmation to have that. But it was my partner, John, he's had a couple of experiences himself previously in his young days, but this was the most physical experience, in a sense of waking up with markings on his body. He's only had sort of sightings and UFO following for a little bit, and that's about it. So he was taken back by it, but he fully believes it's something definitely along those lines, connected with other beings from another planet or something along those lines with the ship connection. And we, you know, you just never know sometimes, you know, what's going to occur next. But at least, you know, these have all been really good experiences and awakenings. And I understand why these days, because like I said, I've known since I was a little girl that I've been, you know, on another planet or come from the stars. But all these experiences are just more confirmation for me, you know, reiterating that as well. But I have had experiences and encountered many years ago, probably in the late 80s, I experienced a UFO ship. The place I was living at with some friends, where they weren't on a negative scale, but they were very interested in our species. And they did take me on board, and I was pregnant at the time. And I suppose you could term them as your usual greys. And I was probably about 3 months pregnant, 12 months pregnant. And then I was with my partner, who became my husband at the time. Unfortunately, it was really sad, because the next morning I knew something had occurred, and went to the hospital. My partner took me to the hospital, and whatever was the pregnancy had disappeared. And the doctors tried to say that it was a miscarriage or something along those lines, or that it dissolved. And, you know, this is 3 months, 12 weeks or so. And I was trying to tell them, no, you know, like I was starting to get very agitated and very angry with the doctors because my own doctor had attended and been there. And I said, look, you know, it's not a miscarriage. Nothing came out anywhere. And I was a bit cheeky with the doctors and said, you know, nothing came out the rear end as well, you know. So because I was getting very, very angry with them. And they honestly did not know what to say. They couldn't explain it because, you know, they did some tests on me and, you know, had a look and so forth. And they could not see, only one of the doctors told me that they couldn't see that anything giving any signs that it was a miscarriage. So I had that pregnancy taken from me, and I later on found out that I did have a hybrid child because she came to visit me many years later. And it was very scary at the time for me. I was very distraught and very upset with losing it. And yeah, so it's not a nice thing to occur. And the fact that you're trying to explain, you know, I didn't tell the doctors about, you know, my experience because, you know, same terms again, you know, don't want to be given tablets and put away for a little while. So, yeah, so I left it at that. But it took me a long time to heal from that. But I was glad in a sense to years later see this little girl that was brought to me by a humanoid being and a grey type being to show me that I did have a hybrid daughter. They gave her the human name Vanessa, but they called her V for short. And she was a beautiful little girl, and she had all the telltale signs of being a hybrid with high forehead. And but she still had my eyes, but they were a bit bigger, hazel eyes. But she had the gifts as well. And she lived with them quite happily, and she spoke to me telepathically because she had only a very small mouth. But she was very happy. That was the main thing, where she was. And I've only ever seen her about 3 times because I did lose one more as well. So I had a boy and a girl that was taken from me in pregnancy, and it's a very hard thing to go through, and most people that experience, you know, sort of upsetting or horrific things like this do need counselling. But I pulled through. I think with them showing me and telling me what occurred was a wonderful help to help me heal as well. Yeah, so unfortunately I never did get to have children in this lifetime. But it wasn't meant to be, but that's because I help out a lot of other children in my family instead. So I'm blessed to be able to do that as well. So, yeah, so that's another one of my wonderful, unusual experiences. All I'll say is sometimes it really is good to be able to talk to someone else about these things, someone else that you really know and trust, and to come out and talk about it, because it feels like, you know, getting something off your chest, taking this weight off our shoulders and carrying it secretly to ourselves for years on end. And it is a wonderful feeling of being able to share these stories, you know, and experiences that I know some of you out there may have, and, you know, be contemplating where to share these stories. But as an experiencer myself, it definitely helps, even if you can talk to someone privately or, you know, do come on board and share your stories. It certainly helps many other people, that's for sure, because I've listened to shows like Nick's show here on UFO Chronicles, and it's helped me come out as well and speak to other people. So, and here I am, and I'm very thankful to Nick Hunter inviting me to speak on this wonderful show, and it's a wonderful blessing to many of us out there who do have these experiences, and speaking with like-minded people, it really is a wonderful blessing. And I really appreciate you having me on board, Nick, and thank you for allowing me to share some of my stories with you on here. Yeah, so there's some unusual goings on out there. It's wonderful, though, when you can get some confirmation. It certainly helps, that's for sure. So, Nick, thank you so much for having me on board.
You're more than welcome. That was nice and easy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was. I just feel very comfortable. I feel, you know, that the people that do listen to these experiences will, in that same space of mind as well, you know, with listening with some of these experiences, because, as I said, some of them could have had a few experiences themselves, you know, and find it very hard. So I fully understand what they're feeling and what they're going through.
It's liberating, isn't it? It's good to put that out there. And like I always say, you know, most of the listeners out there are like-minded, and they've gone through experiences, you know, the same, a lot of stuff they can't process, you know.
It is. I remember the first time that I shared my experience. Yeah, it was in the late 80s, early 90s, and I just felt a great weight come off my shoulders, and I just literally burst into tears, because, you know, like I said, you know, you had to be careful with what you said and things like that. It could be dangerous or harmful to yourself, you know, with certain people. So it is very overwhelming to be able to do that. So we need wonderful people like you to keep up the good work with this, Nick, and I'll certainly be listening in here on and many years to come to the other stories that you share on here. So thanks again, Nick. Thanks so much for having me.
That's wonderful. Lecturer, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
No worries, Nick. Thanks again. Thanks for having me, and I'll chat soon.
We will do, and enjoy your evening.
All right, you too. See you, Nick.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Matthew and Electra for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.